Welcome to Nancy's Bookshelf, a program of conversation and readings with local and regional writers. Now, here's your host, Nancy Wigman.
My guest today had jobs in local radio for 30 years. He was half of the Bennett and Barnett morning team. Gary Bennett played the music, and Dan Barnett did the news and read sports. Now Dan Barnett teaches philosophy full-time at Butte College and helps direct the school's online program as distance learning coordinator.
Wow.
He is also involved in the Chico Triad, a discussion group on philosophy, theology, and science. Each week for about 28 years, Dan Barnett has been writing book reviews for the Chico Enterprise Record. His column Bibliophile appears in the Sunday art section of the paper. As the year 2015 draws to a close, I've invited Dan to join me in looking back at the year's local authors. Dan Barnett, welcome.
Thank you, Nancy. I brought a box of books here, so we'll dip in.
Yes, you have a box of books, and you and I have read mostly the same books because we read the local authors.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, see if you recognize who wrote this. Quote, "Local history, memoir, poetry, children's books and romance novels and more fill the bibliophile in 2014. You could start this year's column with that same way, because as I look back at your column of 2014 at the end of the year, I thought, yeah, local history, memoir, poetry, children's books.
That's right.
Yeah.
The interesting thing is a lot of children's books showed up in my hands, and that's kind of a mini trend. And the other thing is maybe more novels and fewer memoirs, which that's kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And a lot of the novels, especially those for young adults, have a kind of moral of the story. Sometimes it's made explicit and sometimes it's implied. And as I'm reading these books and kind of getting an overall impression, there is a sense where there are two sorts of morals going on. One is you have only yourself to depend on, that you better depend on yourself. Don't look to other people to tell you what to do and how to think and what to value. And another moral is sort of different. It says that we do best in a family, in a community. We do best when we're united as a group. And it was fun to see some of the interplay as we go back and forth. I suppose there are times when it's appropriate to say, yeah, I got to be myself. But then you also got to ask, well, what self is that? And oftentimes our nearest and dearest friends, the best friends, not hangers-on, the community that we're a part of, whether it's a religious community or some other community, can really help us figure out, well, who are we really? So just sort of a 50,000-foot observation.
In fact, some of the books that were designated for children, I've loved reading as an adult. And I hesitated even to call them children's books because I thought, I don't want adults to miss out on these books.
Yeah.
One of them, for example, Nancy Leake has a new book that's illustrated by Steve Rashad, and it's a great book about John and Annie Bidwell.
It is, and Steve Rashad probably has more work than anybody can imagine because he has illustrated many, many books, lots of children's books.
And he is such a delightful person. I've never seen Steve without a big smile on his face, so I know he enjoys what he does.
Yeah, and what Nancy's done in this,
Nancy Leake,
right, is to, in very general terms, to talk about the adventures that John had, and then he met Annie, and they came and founded Chico, among lots of other things, too. But it's fun to see the illustrations and the maps that Steve Rashad has put in there.
I always appreciate maps in a book.
Yeah, and the personality that Steve's illustrations, full-color illustrations, are giving. So here is John Bidwell finding gold, you know. Oh, you got to see. You can get closer to the radio, and you can see the pictures. So that's really a lot of fun. There's lots of children's books.
You know what, too? when Nancy and Steve came in, we talked about their recent book. But one difference in what you do and what I do is that the person doesn't have to put themselves behind a microphone.
Yes.
And Nancy Leek helped a guy here in town who had researched a minor poet, not M-I-N-O-R, but M-I-N-E-R.
Mm-hmm.
It was a wonderful book about Press Longleat.
Yes.
And I really wanted to talk to the author of that, but he would make schedule the interview, and then he would back out. And finally I realized, no, he just doesn't want to get behind a microphone.
Mm-hmm.
So when Nancy and Steve came in to talk about their book together, I had a chance to ask Nancy about the book she helped this shy author, John Ruttero, get into print.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, you read that book, I know, because
oh, yes.
I read your review.
It was wonderful.
Wasn't it? I just loved his poetry.
Yeah. Well, the children's book, there's one called Stella's Adventure in the Incredible Bioterrain by Jan Condon, illustrated by Chris Ficken.
Speaking of books that adults would benefit from, too, I think this is one of them.
Well, this is about digestion and the meeting of the King of Pooh.
In fact, I still have a copy of the original version of Stella's Adventures in the Incredible Terrain.
You do? Look at that.
Charlie the Acidophilus. So when Jan Condon originally wrote this book for children, she focused on the Acidophilus.
Mm-hmm.
And it's gone through editions since then. It has a new title, and it sounds like Alice's Adventures in Wonderland.
It really is, and you get to see how your insides sort of work here. I like that.
Well, and the importance of eating live foods, and I think Jan has the right approach that you have to talk to children.
Yes.
Because once they're adults, their eating habits are pretty much set.
yes, that is true. It takes some effort to change those things.
But you know what, too? Nearly every newspaper article, magazine has something about the fact that our microbes need to be encouraged, and we're destroying them with all sorts of foods that we eat and things that we do.
Mm-hmm.
So she is on the forefront of what's in the news as far as keeping your intestines healthy.
And speaking of keeping healthy,
yes.
Lanny Muehlrath has a brand new book, The Plant-Based Journey. And just fun. I think you interviewed her.
Oh, yeah. I have for her first book,
mm-hmm.
as well as The Plant-Based Journey. And she often is on TV in Sacramento, so she certainly doesn't have fear to get behind a microphone or in front of a camera.
I've seen some of those video clips, and she has a great time.
Oh, she does. She absolutely does.
The idea, in part, is to make food look like your standard food that you expect, but use better ingredients and so that it nourishes you better.
Yes, and The Plant-Based Diet is the name of Lanny Muehlrath's book. And she was at Butte College for a while, but I don't see how she has time to do anything, to teach any classes at Butte College.
Well, she exercises a lot, so, you know, getting around from Butte to going on book tours and so forth. So that's a lot of fun. So there is a kind of a mini trend of authors out there who say, I've got a message for children.
Mm-hmm.
I've got something that I want children to learn. And I think it's exciting. I always ask, well, what's their approach? What intrigues me is how are they going to get this message across? And I think it's just a whole lot of fun. So I'm hoping that the children's authors especially find themselves with lots more ideas and being able to get those out.
I'd like to remind listeners that my guest is Dan Barnett, and he writes the bibliophile column in the Chico Enterprise Record, and he reads local writers, local authors, and so we're talking about some of the books from this past year, from 2015. And we were talking about children's books, and there was a lovely book illustrated, because in Nancy Leek asked Steve Rashad to illustrate her book. Young woman, well, young, everybody's younger to me.
I understand.
Ann Howard, who, she's no longer living here in Chico, but she did a lovely children's book illustrated, and she honored her grandmother who told stories, and Ann Howard's book is The Mystery of Dragon Bridge. And the interesting thing, too, besides the fact that she illustrated herself, is she is her first language is Chinese. And so her book was both written in English and in Chinese. Wow. And it was really fascinating to see the Chinese letters. And I asked her to read a little bit in Chinese when I interviewed her.
Another children's book by Lisa West is
also bilingual.
Yeah, Miguel, Mateo, and the Magic Fish. And right, it has English and Spanish and beautiful illustrations. So a sort of a fairy tale drawing on some of the Mayan mythologies and kind of updated in a children's book. So lots of fun.
So it makes mythology palatable.
Yeah, it does, and brings it up into a child's imagination. So it's not just reading about mythology, but it's getting you involved in the story, and that's pretty neat. One of the books that I've been interested in is called Life Talks, The Conversations Continue. This is really kind of the second in the series from Peggy Jennings Sevier, retired recently from Butte College. And it's a series of questions to ask people. She is at pains to say, you know, don't be obnoxious. And, you know, sitting around the holiday table and saying, say, I've got six questions we all need to talk about.
Well, in fact, Peggy was my guest last week. Last Friday, she was my guest because with Christmas time and family get-togethers, how could we take advantage of an opportunity?
Right.
To get together with family.
And there are some natural openings, and a question well asked appropriately in its time can do amazing things. One of the questions she has is, if you could spend a day with a famous person, who would it be and what would you ask them? And maybe my favorite of all time is, you've been given unlimited resources to create a totally new and unique theme park. What would it be? And mine would be about Star Trek, of course, even though Star Wars is all the rage right now.
Yes.
Star Trek's coming back. So, but I think that's a really fascinating question. And you can pop that in periodically, some of these questions. And it will take people back in their memory. It will elicit from them some things that they never knew how to express and give them kind of the starting point for that. So I appreciate that. As well as Karen Behnke's book, Write Back Soon. This is also in a series of books on writing, but this is really a sense of wanting to recover the old postcard. And to say, you know, you can actually take a physical postcard and write stuff and send it to people. And she has just dozens, if not hundreds, of ideas that will get you started in short-form writing. And then you could transfer that to a journal or send some of that to friends, neighbors, other people. I'm impressed by that the art of letter writing or postcard writing is not gone yet.
Let's hope. My guest is Dan Barnett, and each week his column Bibliophile appears in the Chico Enterprise Record, and he has an opportunity to review the books of local authors. And we mentioned the fact that they're children's books. We've been talking to the children's books. Local history, I happen to love local history.
Yeah.
And The Eakins, speaking of Butte College, they get to slip in a little local history, because if you walk the trails and flumes of Paradise, you wonder, gosh, what's the history of this thing that I see here? What is it and what's its history?
I am amazed at the fun that Roger and Helen Eakins are having now in their second edition with the Flumes and Trails of Paradise.
They revised it from their first. I was surprised at how much thicker it is than the first one.
They
didn't just make minor changes.
They made their own trails. Maybe they did that as well. But it is, as you round the corner, and the fun thing is they time it out in minutes, so you can walk at a certain pace and then know that 3 minutes in, turn around, and you're going to see something, and they'll give you a little bit of the history of it.
Because distance doesn't always tell you, because as a pilgrim, I know that it might be up and down, it might be rather level.
That's right.
So time is a better, it's better information than distance.
Yes, so I appreciate that.
Yeah, and that kind of book it sells quite well locally, because people, it really filled a need, a guidebook for these trails that people like to walk.
And when folks tell you to take a hike, you're right. That's where I'm headed.
You have the guidebook
That's
to do
right.
that. Well, I enjoyed, there's a book called My Father's Big Toe, which was a children's book, too.
Yeah.
And I noticed you have a copy of that there with you, Dan.
Right, by Joanne Cronk Corot. And well, actually, I think it's one of the few books not illustrated by Steve Fershot. Is that right? Yes. Yeah. Oh, actually, it is. Come to think of it. There it is. It is Steve. So.
Yeah, you can recognize his style.
That's right. He illustrates it all. But that's a fun book. As she is remembering her dad, and her dad is someone you really want to write a book about.
Oh, yeah. He was Canadian, and he just pulls up roots and moves to California with his family.
Yeah, and loves to tell stories.
Yes, and so she is honoring her dad with her book, My Father's Big Toe.
And there's a ball of string and on the front cover, and a alligator or a crocodile, and a magic carpet, and a canoe, and a wolf, and it all fits together.
Well, another colleague of yours, it seems like we have a lot of Butte College writers, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Our connection. Rick Machuga came out with a new book this past year, Three Theological Mistakes.
He did, and that wasn't a mistake for him to write it, because...
And by George, you have a copy of his book right there in your big box of books.
In my box of books, his subtitle is How to Correct Enlightenment Assumptions About God, Miracles, and Free Will. And whether you are spiritual or religious or not, the interesting thing is that in this culture in which we live, we are heirs of the Enlightenment kind of thinking.
And even if we don't realize it.
Even if we don't realize
especially
it.
Especially that we don't realize it.
Especially we don't realize it. And that really shades the sorts of arguments that make sense to us and the arguments that we dismiss as silly or nonsensical. And what Rick is trying to do is to make it understandable what those Enlightenment assumptions are from the 18th century primarily in the West. And to say, you know, let's bracket those, let's take those into account as we look at some arguments about theological matters and see how much different they become, those arguments, how much more persuasive they become when we factor out the Enlightenment assumptions that really were just made and taught to us and passed down and that really weren't challenged.
Well, we've talked about the children's books, and there aren't many memoirs this year. It seemed to be there a lot of children's books, but there was one that that was just fascinating because this woman, when she was very young, was traveling all over the world, and this is Valene Smith, and she wrote a book, Stereopticon: Entry into a Life of Travel and Tourism Research, and her travel was back in the days when airplanes didn't get you there very fast, and there might not have even been a way to get from London to Pakistan.
Yeah.
And she just, such an amazing set of experiences. And what I appreciate is that she will turn 90 next month, and she's still traveling.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
I hope to. She's an inspiration for me.
She is. That's right. And I'm getting awfully near that now, or at least it feels that way. Another Butte College colleague who's recently retired from the biology department has done a bit of traveling himself, sort of theological traveling. His book is called Laying Down Arms to Heal the Creation-Evolution Divide, and that's Gary Fugel. And it's really interesting because he is really talking to conservative Christians to say that that evolution, properly understood, and the Christian faith are really not at odds. And so Gary has traveled from being a biologist to wanting his friends to understand why it's so exciting, and being a biologist is actually a kind of praise to God in the work that he does, and that there really isn't this warfare between science and religion. So that's really exciting to see this book published, and then to see the interest that it's generated as people want to know more. How can you be a biologist and a Christian at the same time?
That they're not mutually exclusive. No. My guest is Dan Barnett, and we're talking about the books of 2015. And we're not calling them our favorites because we liked so many books that we wouldn't have time to talk about, but just some that happened to intrigue us that we've read over this past year.
Hmm. One is a very interesting book by Ron Hirschbein. He's my philosophy professor way back in my days at Chico State. And I think the first course I took from him was called The Philosophy of Philosophy. It went downhill from – no, it was, Ron loves puns, but he also has a kind of ironic take on things. And so his book is called The United States and Terrorism, An Ironic Perspective by Ron Hirschbein. He taught war and peace studies at Chico State University. And so this is – central to his focus on what do we really mean by terrorism and how complicit is the United States in doing things that most of us would kind of not agree with. And so he talks a lot about American elites and people who are making decisions in high towers and not having a sense of the kind of moral anchor, perhaps, that one ought to have. So it's a controversial book that anybody who reads it, whatever their perspective, left, right, or middle, will find something to chew on, or that will chew on them.
The writers that we have talked about, some of them it was their first book, some of them their second book. Mm-hmm. George Keithley had a new book come out this year, mm-hmm. Ring of Fire. Mm-hmm. Such a delightful person. And that's one thing that you miss, Dan. I mean, you get to know some of these people. You probably just email back and forth. But I get to sit down with these wonderful people, and I really enjoy getting to meet them and talk to them about their books.
I think the biography, knowing the person, deepens your appreciation for the book, doesn't it?
It does.
But I think also at the same time, sometimes it makes the book harder or more complex, harder simply to summarize them.
Mm-hmm. Well, there were memoirs we mentioned this year, maybe fewer because that's a popular genre here mm-hmm. Locally. There were fewer of them, but there were some. Robert Jackson wrote Wherever I Go, yep. War Baby's Tales.
Yeah.
And I do like that period in our history. I think it's so fascinating that I enjoyed his book. And there was Dennis Wilson wrote We Had No Fences, about growing up in the Midwest.
Yeah, and I love his descriptive powers. This is talking about his childhood and his grandmother's house that he stayed at.
Yes.
Behind Grandma's house stood an old wooden shed roughly the size of her house. It sheltered Grandma's washing machine, which consisted of two galvanized tubs with wood stands and a hand wringer that would mount on one of the tubs. The clothes dryer was a pair of wires strung between shed and house. And then also there's a little building behind Grandma's house, and that was the outhouse. And so it was very interesting to read what he had to say about that. Behind the unpainted shed stood the most readily identifiable building on the property, the unpainted outhouse. In keeping with the rest of the structures, it had seen better days and leaned against the shed in weariness. It had a door that sagged and refused to remain shut, allowing snowdrifts access during winter. It was barely usable during the summer with its odor, man-eating spiders, and pages from a Sears catalog.
This is my guest, Dan Barnett, and his reading from the book, We Had No Fences, by local writer Dennis Wilson.
I love it.
And, you know, some of the stories themselves, not stories, the content, for example, I'm thinking of Gary Sitton's book, Fire Up Your Startup and Keep It Up. I mean, this is about business, and here's a very successful businessman who made money just being who he was. And yet his own story is so touching. He had a son that was so talented, had so much potential. And Gary's thinking, yeah, I can pass on this business to my son. And then he lost his son.
Yeah, and we lost him. And so the sorts of books that kind of span genres, it's not just a business book, but it's a book with heart in it, are really enjoyable to me. I like to see that particular approach because it draws the reader in, even if you're not doing a startup, something like that.
Well, and also a lot of these writers say if they're men, their wives are so supportive. And I not only got to meet Gary, but his lovely wife. She is featured in his book, too, because she lent the human touch to this business enterprise.
Yeah, and it's fun as people are talking about their stories. One of them in particular is Robin Engel. And she was wanting to write, always wanting to write. And so she's reading a bit of her first draft. She's 4'8".
Might I mention the title, Woman on the Verge of Paradise?
Sorry about that. Yes. Not sorry about the title, but sorry I didn't mention it. She's 4'8", of heartfelt ferocity. Nothing can stop this post-pubescent spitfire from claiming her fairy tale. Not jarring tragedy, not penile malfunction, not even the explosive demise of a new marriage. Not until Robin Engel, a woman on the verge of paradise, finds her happily ever after alone. So that's kind of plays into this larger theme, the sense of self-reliance, and yet also in other books, the sense of needing a community.
Well, since this is New Year's Day, we look back at 2015, and then looking ahead to 2016, do you have any books in the pipeline before we wish everybody a Happy New Year?
I have a few books in the pipeline. There's a book about an explosion of a mountain. I'll just say that, and that's kind of fun.
Well, I hope that people will have a chance to...
Actually, it's not fun that the mountain exploded, Nancy. I should amend that.
Good. Well, I hope listeners will have a chance to maybe pick up some of these books and read by local writers. And I wish all of the writers who are working on a book success in getting their book published, because that's a trick in itself. Thank you, Dan.
You're welcome.
You can find this and other episodes of Nancy's Bookshelf on our website, mynspr.org. I'm Nancy Wigman.
You've been listening to Nancy's Bookshelf. Our theme music is The Mysterious Barricades by Francois Couperin, performed by Warren Haskell. Nancy's Bookshelf is a production of North State Public Radio.